Good morning. Listen up. Jesus is on the air. Welcome. I'm Barbara Campbell, and I'm hosting the show today. Katarina will be back next week, and we have an absolutely fabulous topic for today. It's all about the Holy Spirit. We have two wonderful guests that I'm going to introduce to you. And what we're going to talk about is really the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But before I do that, let me give you the cell text to message us at 631-807-8900. And I want to tell you the good news. We have a new TuneIn app, radio app, that can be downloaded for free on your phone. And you can hear us clearly, and it just makes everything so much better for getting in WGBB. So please text us. Let us know what's going on out there, if you have any thoughts or questions. And with that, I'd like to introduce Father Peter Kaczmarek, who is going to be here to be our theological consultant. He is the pastor at St. Francis of Assisi Church. And Cheryl Savoni, who is our special guest today, and she's going to talk about her particular experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So before we begin speaking with Cheryl, let's talk about that baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I think that it's very often misunderstood, and sometimes we don't even know, really. We say, Holy who? Who? Who's the Holy Spirit? So let's talk about what that really is. You know, at baptism and confirmation, of course, we receive the Holy Spirit, but what happens in the baptism of the Holy Spirit is that we kind of tap into the power and fire of our baptism and confirmation. So I like to compare it to having a plug and an outlet, and it's kind of like dangling. You never actually get to put the plug into the outlet, but all of a sudden, when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes around, the plug goes into the outlet, and you start experiencing an empowering and a major conversion experience where scriptures become alive to you, and things that you never could do before suddenly become very easy, and supernatural grace is just kind of flooded over our souls with it, and we get very excited about God and the things of God. Now, is it necessary to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. Does it make life a lot easier and a lot more exciting and a lot more of an adventure? Yeah. So with that in mind, let's kind of turn this over now to Cheryl, and she's going to tell us what her experience was, her practical experience. And so, hi, Cheryl. How you doing?
Great. Thank you for having me today.
Good morning. So, you know, I just want to ask Cheryl first, like, what was your understanding, Cheryl, of the Holy Spirit before all this kind of stuff happened, started happening to you?
Well, I realized that I had very little understanding of the Holy Spirit. As a child, I went to church every week. I prayed, and I was taught to always try to do the right thing. And I would say, name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And my idea of the Holy Spirit was very limited. It was like a dove. I really didn't know what the Holy Spirit was.
So would you say that your experience of God was similar, or how did you understand God?
I understood God as someone that you prayed to, that helped you, and that you worshiped and honored, and you tried to be as good of a person as you can, because that's who Jesus was, and you tried to be like Jesus.
So I always like to ask people who share this kind of testimony, did you have any sense that there was more out there?
I did. You did? I was always restless. I always knew there was more. Mm-hmm. And was always some searching for it, not always in the right places, but knew there was something else.
Tell us a little bit about where you searched for it.
Okay. So I would say, in love, I searched for it. I searched to have that. I knew there was this amazing love that could exist. And so I looked for a relationship where I would have that, and I would be filled up with someone else's love to make me feel good about myself and feel happy and joyful. And
did you ever get into anything else, like, you know, sometimes people who are really searching for God get into things like Ouija boards and fortune telling, but they're really looking for God. Did you ever get into anything like that?
I did, actually. I was in school, and I was helping these Russian students to learn ultrasound because they had a language barrier.
Oh.
And they didn't have a lot of money, but they wanted to repay me, so they suggested, how about they read my cards? And so I didn't want to insult them, and I was also curious, so I did it, and it was like fortune telling. And other people in my family had done things like that as well. And I found it intriguing. So I participated.
Found it fascinating?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we have to really look back on our past. There's so many people, there's scriptures about this, where, you know, we're looking for God, but we don't quite know where to find him, so we kind of get misled, and we go off to different paths. But actually, the Lord has his way with us, and he'll give us the supernatural grace if we respond. So how did you get that supernatural grace, and how did you respond?
Okay. So my whole life has been very blessed. For most of it, I had it easy, and never really had to deal with much tragedy. So when I was 33, my life changed a little bit. My mother, who is my best friend, was diagnosed with cancer. I had two miscarriages. My daughter almost died of an asthma attack. I moved and was struggling in my marriage. And normally, by my own will, I would fix things. I was a good fixer. But nothing was working. And I was getting sad and in despair. And I honestly, analogous to a person who starts to drown, they're just trying to keep their head up above water, but then slowly it just kept bobbing underneath.
And how are you trying to fix things?
By asking God to change everybody.
Yeah, that's what we always say. I always say that, and I hear so many people say that. You know, if I lived alone, I would be such a holy, good person. And, you know, as soon as that first person comes in the door, then you find out what's really going on. But I'm asking you these questions because I just feel that there's so many people out there, and young people as well, who have gone through similar, you know, nothing's that new under the sun. I think, you know, the path that we go on is pretty similar. So I wanted you to kind of elaborate on this a little bit, like your struggle and what you tried to do to get everything better.
Okay, so I prayed the only way I knew how to pray, asking God for things to change, and I tried to change all the people in my life. And then when things crashed for me, and I didn't have my mom to reach out to because she had her own issues, and my husband was working so many hours and he wasn't as present, I don't know, I felt like I just cried out to the Lord for help. And when you do that, he comes so fast. And he basically swooped in and moved me to Long Island from New Jersey, and had already set up, now that I look back, it was a total setup. My neighbor was a prayerful person, and she gave me a Bible on arrival. And I really,
on arrival at your new home?
Yes.
She came over
within,
and gave you
within
a Bible?
Like a week or two, there was, wow, a Bible at my doorstep. I met a wonderful woman who had a prayer group, and I started to learn the Bible, which I never really knew. And I had the support of my sister, and that's when it all began. And I started to learn about the Lord and the Holy Spirit and what that meant, and I clung on to it.
How did you learn? How did you learn that?
I went to a Bible study, mm-hmm, and the woman there was teaching us how to practically apply the Bible to your life.
Now, did you feel awkward when you went to the Bible study? Did you feel like, well, I really don't know what these people are going to know, and I'm kind of like uneasy, and do I belong here? Did you have any of that?
I felt a little insecure because these people really knew the Bible, and they would pray using the words of God, and I had nothing to pull out, just the basic prayers that I had learned, like the Hail Mary, the Our Father, Glory Be, Rosary. But I didn't really know how to speak out and speak life over myself using the words of God.
Okay, well, yeah, and of course the Rosary is an amazing way of using God's word, since that is right from the scriptures. But getting back to your struggle, did you at any point want to give up?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
So when I started to know the Lord, I would
What was different about your prayer? Excuse me, I just...
Sure. So, what was different was that I learned that I wasn't alone, that I would never feel lonely again because God was always with me and he would never leave me. And knowing that gave me hope and it gave me courage. And I knew that I didn't have to figure it out myself. I've always done stuff in my own strength. Mm-hmm. And now I had the strength of God. And so that was very helpful. But God always also spoke to me in different ways. So I would...
Tell us some of those ways.
Okay, so when I cried out to the Lord and asked him several questions, I woke up in the middle of the night and there was a song on my heart. So I Googled it and I looked at the lyrics, and each stanza of the lyrics answered each of the questions I had prayed and asked him about the night before in order. And I was amazed.
Wow.
And fell in love with a person who could know me so well and answer my questions in the order I asked them through the lyrics of a song. I was blown away.
Incredible. Yeah. And he does do that.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the Lord does that. Let me ask Father Peter something for a second. Cheryl mentioned, Father Peter, that she cried out to the Lord for help, you know? Now, I'm sure that she had asked God for help many times before, right?
Yes.
So, and I think everybody relates to that. You know, we have a certain way of asking God for help. But what is it in your experience that makes that ultimate cry different from the cries that we utter all the time?
Well, I guess there has to be a certain depth to it. There has to be a certain urgency to it. Baptism in the Holy Spirit doesn't have to be born of crisis, but sometimes a sense of the need for more, or that, you know, that fundamentally that, you know, really the level of divine activity in your life is not deep enough and profound enough and frequent enough to cope with all the different things that are going on. So there's an urgency. It doesn't have to be a crisis, but there's got to be some kind of urgency, some kind of feeling that there must be more to this. You know, so the graces of baptism and confirmation are the Catholic way of you know, accessing the Holy Spirit. You know, folks might want to look at chapter 2 of St. John's Gospel, when Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and Jesus is teaching him. You know, Nicodemus is afraid. Mm-hmm. So right there you have a kind of a crisis. He's coming at night because he doesn't want his friends to see that he's looking for Jesus.
Okay.
He's got too much to lose. He's
right.
He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He's a grand rabbi. He's a high priest. He's got a lot of credentials and a lot of standing. So he comes to Jesus when nobody else will see him. See, it's interesting. And of course, he was faithful enough to be around for the crucifixion, although, you know, he wasn't able to stop it. But in any event, Jesus says, unless a man be born again of water and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's teaching Nicodemus. Okay, and Nicodemus takes this literally, but what Jesus is talking about is the whole baptismal experience, baptism, confirmation, then the awareness that we're not where we should be, the crying out to God for more adequacy, I would say, to the tasks that are before us. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cheryl was in a kind of a crisis, but not a not in a life or death crisis, but right. She was thinking of taking her life or something, or that a physical disease was there, but it was an urgent moment. And, you know, God tailors his graces to where we are and how we're doing it. So many people are prayed over in prayer groups for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Nothing happens at that time.
That's
nothing happens
point.
At that time. Yeah. See, that nothing happens. So they should not give up, because the Lord is going to position them in such a way that he'll be able to touch them in terms of who they are and where their needs are and where he can lead them. So in other words, baptism of the Holy Spirit is going to mean a little something different for every person, but nonetheless, there's going to be a lot of things in common at the same time. Love of the Word of God, a sense of excitement that God is really working, a joy in the things of God, a desire to share his love with others. All these things are basics to the Holy Spirit, and it's really igniting the graces that have sort of been buried there for a while, you know, as we've been making our journey. So did that answer a little bit of it anyway?
Yeah. Also, what comes to mind, I can't remember the address of this particular scripture, but in Acts, when Paul arrives And he says, so everyone says, oh, all these people were baptized.
That's right.
And then he says, but did you receive the Holy
That's
Spirit?
Right. See, this is it. See, well, that's also a wonderful verse. That's also mm-hmm. a wonderful thing. Well, there's some issues with that because these seven men come forward. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd have to, you know, pull out the chapter myself, but you know they're presented to Paul, and Paul asks them, "Have you received?" They say, "We have not so much as even heard of the Holy Spirit." They say,
right,
"So then
right.
Paul says, this is very very interesting." He says, "Well, then how did you get baptized?" In other words, there's supposed to be a catechesis, a teaching before water baptism. You see, about the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, there's a sense that water baptism and baptism in the Holy Spirit, the inflow, are together, are united, and are supposed to, you know, flow right one to the other. See, it's mm-hmm. not so distinct. Water baptism here, baptism in the Holy Spirit here, it's all one. Mm-hmm. So Paul is astonished, and they say, we were baptized with John's baptism. Mm-hmm. Well, then Paul understands it. Okay, these people were really accepted a deeper level of conversion through John, but John was not Jesus. So then Paul explains to them that John's baptism was a sign of repentance, but now we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so he prays over them. And then, of course, they burst into prayer, into praise, and they burst into the gift of tongues. That will or will not happen at that same time. It may for some people, it may not for others. Okay, but classically speaking, these men were already excited about it, so the context was there. So they begin praising God in tongues, mm-hmm. which is a sure sign that you've been touched by the Holy Spirit.
I'm so glad that you mentioned the gift of tongues, and I'm going to get to talk to Cheryl maybe about that a little bit later after she kind of shares more. But I'm very excited to also get back to find out what your next step was, Cheryl. Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to just comment on what Father Peter said, that yes, I had asked for help a million times, but it wasn't until I actually wanted to just do what God wanted is when he came running, when I gave up all my control and said, okay, God, your will, not mine. Obviously, I can't do this. It's not working. I've tried everything in my own strength. Your way.
So you gave up the laundry list, so to speak?
And I said, fine, your way. Show me your way. Because I knew in my spirit that I could have peace, I could have joy, and that there's no reason why all these things couldn't be healed or fixed. And I also realized that the Holy Spirit kind of lets you know where you need to change. So it wasn't until I changed the focus from everybody else to myself and started asking the Lord, all right, show me where I need to change, was also a great help.
So can you kind of walk us through your actual baptism of the Holy Spirit and what exactly happened?
Okay, so I've done it twice, actually, and the first time I didn't really realize what it was. Mm-hmm. So the first time I was just in prayer group and they said a simple prayer. And I will say, I did get this excitement, more excitement about learning about the Lord, and I tried to have do the tongues. I wanted to have the gift of tongues, and it didn't come. But when I started going to church, the words just from the priest just landed in a different way. I was like, how come nobody was saying this my whole life?
Oh, and you heard it different.
I heard it differently. And my sister and I, and we said, well, maybe they were saying it, but now we're just hearing it. So that was exciting because the words were being deposited in our hearts. Mm-hmm. And then I still was struggling. And I'd be like, Lord, there was a lot of dissension in my household. And so I'd be like, I'm giving up. And then I would open a book, and it would say, persevere. And I would say, okay, I'd call my sister, I'm not giving up. And that would go on and on for a couple of years, actually. And then I met you, and I did your Life in the Spirit seminar. Mm-hmm. And it was a whole different experience, because I found this whole group of people who had such love for one another, who mm-hmm. prayed for each other, who had for 30 years been each other's support system. And I wanted that. I wanted to be surrounded by people who were honoring God, who were trying to live in His will, because you guys had joy. You had peace. Mm-hmm. You had all the things I were looking for. And not just because your lives were great. As a matter of fact, a lot of your lives had worse things than I had gone through. And you guys were praising the Lord. And I was like, I want that. So it was an inspiration for me. And once I went through that baptism and I really learned about who the Holy Spirit was, and how to develop a relationship with Jesus, that's when things started to change for me, and I actually did get the gift of tongues.
Okay, so before we go there, sure. which I know is kind of a very interesting, if not controversial, part of this day, talk to me about when, was there an actual moment when this happened? Or I know some people, there's no rules for this. Like, some people experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit very dramatically in one moment, one fell swoop. Others, it's kind of a process that kind of comes over them and they grow in that awareness, and suddenly maybe they'll say, oh wow, I understand Jesus' love for me in a way I never did before. And then there's other people, we used to say that there was like an awakening sometimes. Do you remember that, Father Peter? We called it the awakening before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's what Cheryl's been talking about, like her personal awakening. And as Father said, it doesn't have to have a crisis to bring you there, but it certainly helps. And
there's an urgency, always a feeling that I'm lacking something I really need, you know. Yeah.
And I think that I would be correct to say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you want to distill it down to its most ultimate form, is really a sudden, possibly sudden or gradual, understanding of Jesus' love for you. Now, I don't mean Jesus' generic love for all of us, but Jesus is unique. Jesus Christ is uniquely in love with me. And He loves everything about what makes me me. Just like Cheryl said before, you know, she asked certain questions and God answered them. You know, He's involved in the details. Suddenly we say, my God, this God that created the universe is involved in the details of my life. How crazy is this? You know, how overwhelming is this? And it's just like, you know that you know that you know that you know, and nobody can ever take that away from you. So is that kind of, you give me your version.
No, absolutely. For me, it wasn't this aha moment that all of a sudden I, you know, in 1 second I got the baptism. It was more a learning curve. It was more gradual, that every day as I was seeking to know Jesus, He was revealing His great love for me over and over again. I mean, He's done so many amazing things, restored my marriage, gave me supernatural graces to grieve my mother and my best friend. There's so many things that He's done for me that, you know, I could cry about, and I have felt so loved and so known. I think
known. I love known. That word. That's
I think
a great
that
word.
Was my biggest thing. I never felt known. I think I was kind of shy and quiet, and I was never really understood. And I was always seeking people to be like, don't they get me? But God gets you. He knows everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And He still loves you. That's what's so exciting.
Right. That's holy laughter.
That's it. That's another one.
And the greatest thing is, I was brokenhearted, and for many different reasons. And He came in and just healed my disappointments, my hurts, my fears, my failures, my insecurities, the misunderstandings of me. And instead, He made me feel new and confident and showed me who I am in Him, which everybody is amazing in Jesus Christ.
Everybody is a masterpiece, right?
Everybody.
But what I want to say, that being said, we're all unique, too. You know, it's not like we're all just all great and we're all going to, you know, look the same. But I think what excites me about the Lord is that what you said, I think, is so important, that you suddenly are known. You know that this Creator, this, you know, God loves you in a way that He knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows what he grace builds on nature. He knows the graces that He needs to give you uniquely because it's building on your unique nature.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's the most exciting part.
And He's so gentle.
And yes.
Which is the best thing, because I had trouble forgiving myself for certain things that I had done in my life. And I realized, wait, you know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of us, for all of our sins, and no sin. It's like reverse pride. So you have to forgive yourself, too. Mm-hmm. So it was...
Otherwise, we're really dismissing... That's a very good point.
That's a horrific very good point. Death. He died for
us. Yeah, we're dismissing it because we're saying, well, we are actually more powerful than God, and we are saying that your death and resurrection wasn't enough for us, you know? And I think, just to say parenthetically right now, I think that's one of Satan's greatest tricks, you know? And our ego cooperates with that many times. It's almost like a sense of pride that gets us under condemnation, you know, when we you know, maybe we confess the same sin over and over, or we perseverate about, we can't believe how we could have done that, and, you know, we go over it and over it and over it, and God, you know, Scripture tells us, the Word of God says, Yahweh says, your sins are as far from me as the east and the west. And guess what? I even forgot them. But yet Satan loves nothing more but to shut us down and paralyze us. And the way he does that is through guilt, and more guilt, and come under the condemnation. You know, we put ourselves under that. So what Cheryl's talking about is very crucial. You suddenly understand that you have an unconditional love that you've never imagined or never known before. And it's not that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, doesn't exhort us, right? He admonishes us.
Absolutely.
But how did you find that admonishment? How does that work for you?
I felt that it was healing because it wasn't a wrathful admonishment. It was more of an enlightenment. It was more of a bird's eye view of what he's seeing. It was more of, these were weaknesses, and let me show you what they were and the reasons why you can fall into sin. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I looked at it as, I wanted to know how to war against this so this wouldn't happen for me, and I could also war for my family. I have the authority to do that. So I wanted to learn the game, the rules. I'm a competitor, so I wanted to learn the rules of the game so I can war and get my family in line, myself, with the kingdom of God.
When you say you're a competitor, tell us a little about that so we get to know you a little bit.
Okay. So I'm an athlete. I played 3 sports in high school, and I played Division I, 2 sports in college. And I've been known to be a little competitive.
You want to win.
You want to win. Yes.
And did you get all kinds of accolades? And
yes, I was all Ivy, all New England for softball.
Where were you?
I played at Yale University.
So you kind of know the whole deal.
Yes.
Yeah, and you wanted to get into the spiritual warfare.
Right.
On the top of the game.
Absolutely.
And have you found that to work out?
It's very effective. Because it's great. The Holy Spirit reveals things that can trip you up, and then you're aware before it happens, and you pray, and you ask for graces to, you know, be able to overcome or understand where the root of things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the reason why I ended up not clinically depressed, but depressed and in despair and in anger, was because I was in unforgiveness. And I didn't really realize that till the Holy Spirit shared that with me and mm-hmm. showed me. I thought, I said I forgave everybody, mm-hmm. but, you know, I hadn't really forgiven. So the Holy Spirit reveals a lot. And then through calling out God's promises to you and praying in that way, it helps you move past the storm.
Mm-hmm. Well, here you have the necessity of the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
See, that's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is really all about. Now, we have a Catholic understanding of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the charismatic gifts aren't included in that. They really should be, but because they were so rare for so many centuries. Well, you know, don't forget also the Protestant churches didn't have baptism in the Holy Spirit in the same way till the Pentecostal movement got going. Mm-hmm. And of course, God wanted to get it going in the Catholic Church too in so many ways, but there were so many different institutional factors that made it difficult. But to point out that, you know, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear, these are the weapons we need, see, to fight the battle. This is the equipment that we need.
And
so
those
that get ignited, they get ignited. In other words, they come at baptism, they come at confirmation, but now they've got to be accepted, embraced, mm-hmm. used, and enhanced. So to really get in, as Cheryl said, get in the game and win the game.
So it's possible, Father, that we could have these gifts and fruits, but they never really get going?
Yeah, for a lot of people, it seems. I mean, you know, I don't want to make any judgment about any individual or anything like that, but mm-hmm. it seems that, you know, if you know, teenagers are so self-conscious and so aware of a certain type of peer pressure, that it would be hard for a normal kid making his confirmation. I mean, you see it sometimes where kids are genuinely excited about, on an adolescent level, to receive mm-hmm. that. And that's great, and that's what they need, and mm-hmm. and the Lord will work with that. But then others seem indifferent or almost a little afraid of it. I mean, I remember myself, I was thinking about my confirmation. I made it in the fifth grade, not even in the eighth grade. You made it even earlier. So, you know, the idea was, well, sure, Lord, I'd like you to change me, but maybe not too much, you know, or something like that. You know what I mean? Change me, but not too much, or change me, but not right away, you know, that kind of thing. So that's, you know, let me take just small doses of these pills, you know, these Holy Spirit pills, you know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you do have to put it all together from different, you know, different places in the Holy Scripture. Sure, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, usually folks who've experienced it in the classical sense can point to a particular day when something happened, an experience mm-hmm. happened. It's not like simply, you know, I go to church on Sunday or I pray in this certain way and my faith is growing. And so, though there's usually something particular, something unique, something special, and it's usually connected with your uniqueness, with who you are. I mean, I received the gift of tongues, you know, in the sanctuary of a church.
Tell us about that.
Well, as the pastor of the parish was coming to give Holy Communion to the first communicant, the first child who was making his first Holy Communion, I just was filled. I was on the side because I was going to be helping. Those were the days before Eucharistic ministers, and I was going to be helping giving Eucharist to the parents, but the pastor wanted to give himself Holy Communion to all of the first communicants. So as he went down to present the host, I was really, I don't know how, moved from a sitting position to a kneeling, almost involuntarily, and my tongue began to move. I began to just be filled with joy and peace. I got the gift of tongues even without even thinking about it or knowing about it. And it was a couple of weeks after I had been prayed over for the baptism, and more or less it said, well, Lord, I guess other people get this gift really quickly. I guess I'm pretty slow. And of course it happened. The Lord caught up with me at that day.
Okay, so that's a great story.
That's a great story. So I think that's part of the experience. Uh-huh. That was something particular uh-huh. happens.
I think we have a phone call. Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Hi.
Hi, Barbara. It's Katrina, and hi, Father Peter and Cheryl. I've just been listening, and it's just such an amazing show today, and thank you so much. I just wanted to say a couple of good things.
Okay.
I think you're so great as a host with your questions, and just it's just been such an engaging show, and I can relate to Cheryl's story, and I'm just thankful that I know a little bit more about the Holy Spirit and baptism in the Holy Spirit, because I always thought it was just one event that you knew. It was just like a pouring of grace all in one moment. It doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
Can I ask you something, Katarina? Is there a way I can... This is the first time I've taken a phone call, and I'm the only one hearing you, and I'm wondering if there's a way I can get you over to our listeners. Is there a way to do that, or should I just talk about what you're saying?
I think, you could just reiterate it.
Okay. So anyway, we have Katarina calling in, and she's very excited because she said that she always wondered about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this is helping her to get a fuller grasp of it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem. And I just wanted to say one other quick thing.
Sure, go ahead.
That today is the feast of Our Lady of Lourdes.
Yes.
It's so interesting that you're talking about water and the Holy Spirit, and Our Blessed Lady was filled with the Holy Spirit, and that God wants to heal us through water, through Himself, through the Holy Spirit, and just those blessings, and just about living waters, where you work is such a blessing for other people as well. So
That's
mentioned that as well, that the people can go to living waters. I think it fits in really nicely.
Well, thank you so much. Katarina's reminding us. I think I'm getting some texts that you are hearing her out there, so I'm happy about that. But I just wanted to say that that's a beautiful reminder that Our Lady of Lourdes is so connected to water and the healing graces of water. You know, the Lord uses all these things in such a powerful way. And to think about, yes, I want to give a little word about where I work at Living Waters. And it's we have a Catholic counseling center. We bring the Lord into everything, and we have amazing clinicians there. It's in Melville, and anytime that you're interested, you could text me or Katarina to find out more about it if you need some counseling, or who doesn't need counseling. I guess the whole world actually could use it. But getting back to Our Lady, I think that she's such a great example of someone who responds to grace, because when you really think about it, you know, she had everything to lose when she said yes to Gabriel, and I think we forget that so often. I think I might have mentioned that around Christmas at one point, that, you know, she was really in danger of being stoned, and she had to get, I would think, wouldn't you, Father, great supernatural graces to say
the Holy
yes?
Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Yes. That's what the angel says. So Mary's often referred to in Catholic piety as the spouse of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
See, spouse of the Holy Spirit. So she's truly, you know, the mother of our Redeemer, the mother of our Savior, and the mother of God. That's her greatest title, mother of God, because Jesus is one person, was one person. Jesus has two natures. Mm-hmm. So she's not simply the mother of the human nature, but the mother of the whole person. So, mother of God. And sure, she must have been frightened, you know, but she persevered. Mm-hmm. You know, she held on to it. She was not like the father of John the Baptist, who doubted and got completely shut down spiritually. Mm-hmm. She embraced the message. And then, of course, the next practical thing we find out is that she's going to help her cousin Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just a kind of an isolated mystic, but a kind of a very practical person too.
So,
Barbara?
Yeah, yes, Katarina.
I had a quick question. I know Father Peter said about that Mary is the Mother of God, and that's one of her greatest titles. Does that pretty much mean that she has blessings and that she's just such a great advocate because she understands God greatly, or can Father Peter just say something about that? I was just curious.
What was that?
Did you hear Katarina's
question?
No,
I didn't. I know she was asking a question, but I didn't get it clearly.
Okay, she's asking if how does Mary advocate for us? In other words, does Mary advocate through us for us so effectively because she is so close to her son?
Right. Well, there's a unique relationship there between Jesus and his mother. And of course, God does not just put anybody back on a shelf when he uses them. There's always more. So even as, she's the mother of our Savior, she's the mother of the church. She's the mother of all people who are embracing God. So in other words, God's not going to shut her down just because, now this in the ascension and the resurrection and the ascension, while she doesn't have to bear him physically, she's bearing, spiritually, the role of mediatorship, just as God used her to bring Christ into the world. So he's continuing to use her in countless ways.
Well, I just want to say that. Thank you, Katerina.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
I think that I just want to say about Lourdes, my daughter and I had a great trip there about 15 years ago, 20 years ago maybe, and I know after it we experienced a lot of healing, but it kind of ties in with something Cheryl said before. She said that the Lord starts, once you get close with the Lord and you're hanging out with him a lot, he starts showing you the things that keep you from experiencing the full freedom he wants for you. And I think healing is so often misunderstood emotionally because a lot of times, God doesn't wave a magic wand. He doesn't say, okay, you're all healed. I mean, he can do that. He's sovereign. But for the most part, what he really does is he shows us those things that are keeping us from being healed. And that was my experience at Lourdes. When I came home from Lourdes, I figured, well, that was all wrapped up. I told the Blessed Mother what I needed. I went in the water and I'm done. And wow, was I in for a trip after that. And really, it was an amazing experience of, it didn't feel so good and it didn't maybe look so good, but it was such an amazing experience of being freed up from so many things
so
at that
many
time.
Things.
But I want to make sure we talk about the gift of tongues, Cheryl. So can we jump over?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, like I said, when I first was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I, of course, wanted to have the gift of tongues. So, and this is probably why I didn't receive it at the time. I got up at like 3 a.m. and went in my basement so none of my family would think I was strange. And I was trying to do it, and it didn't happen because obviously I was embarrassed by it or something or not accepting of it. Mm-hmm. And then about a year later, my husband and I had been working so hard to, reignite our marriage. And it just didn't seem to be happening, but he's competitive too. And I think that's what kept us together at first, because we didn't want to give up, even though we weren't very happy with each other. And I found out that the gift of tongues is really God praying the perfect prayer for you or a loved one. And so I thought, well, my prayers aren't working. I want God's perfect prayers because that's going to be better than anything I come up with. So I remember I was crying hysterically because I did not want to be divorced and I wanted my marriage to work. And I didn't just want an okay marriage. I want an awesome marriage. So I was crying on the floor and said, just begging God to take over, and whatever he wanted me to do, I would do. And I got in the shower, and all of a sudden, I started singing. And I don't have a good voice, but I figured it was God's word, so he liked it. I was singing loud and in this language that I'd never heard, and my mouth was moving in ways it had never moved before. And I got the gift of tongues, and I was so excited. And I definitely started seeing when I used the gift how there started to be movement. But I just wanted to make very clear, Barbara was saying about how she went to Lourdes and Mary, then when she got home, she saw.
And Catherine, my daughter, also, I think, would, if she was here, she would say the same thing.
Right.
We'll have to get her in here to talk about Lourdes, too, because we both were kind of like, okay, well, we did that now, and then we didn't know. It was just the beginning.
Right, but that's the That's the whole part. A lot of people think that God just takes over, but there's definitely a partnership. Like, if that's one thing that's so important to know, because people get so discouraged. Oh, well, we asked God and nothing happened. But nothing happened that you see, but things are happening. But you have to be an active participant. Like, I prayed for so many years, and things didn't get better with my husband and I. It probably took 5 years before I really started seeing things like hope, you know? I always had hope, and I knew it could be, but I was actively praying and not giving up and believing. I wasn't just saying, okay, God, do this, and I wasn't participating. Then he was showing me things, and I was praying them, and I was trying to do what he asked. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very important, whether you go to Lord's and Mary reveals things to you, or the Lord reveals, but then it's your job to do the work.
Exactly.
Because without the work, there's no movement.
Right.
In my experience.
Right.
But once you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, some of those works will be easier to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Because with the love of Scripture and the sense of God's, you know, very intimate presence and very real presence, you know, things that you couldn't have done before or even would have been distasteful or beyond you, you know, now you can manage them. But of course, it still takes your willpower and it still takes, you know, your active participation. So, I mean, the baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't, you know, mean all your problems are solved, but you're starting to get the tools and the gifts to deal with them.
Exactly.
And the gifts are really coming alive now.
Right.
I also think it's so important that when you receive the gifts, if you're not surrounding yourself with people and who are in the Lord, it's much harder. So it's very important to surround yourself with a community that is also moving in the Lord's gifts.
Right.
That's so crucial. Did you want to say something, Father?
No, I was just going to say that's why the prayer groups were helpful to help people get into the baptism because they would see other people interested too. And there's definitely a communal aspect. That's why, you know, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And how does the creed say? The Holy Catholic Church comes right after that in the creed. So the church and the Spirit are working together. So this is really a thing to remember.
I just wanted to ask Cheryl to clarify something for our listeners. When you said, okay, so God is praying, when I pray in tongues, God is praying. Can you explain that? And I think you're probably referring to the scriptures that tell us that when Paul says, when I don't know what to pray and I've run out of words and I don't even have the words anymore, all of a sudden the Spirit within me starts to pray. So is that what you're saying, that the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like when you don't know what else to pray, and oftentimes I want to pray God's will, so the gift of tongues is in God's will, so I feel very comfortable praying in tongues because I know that it's God's will that I'm praying, because it's derived from the Holy Spirit within me.
And it doesn't have to be, I don't know, Father Peter would agree with this, but I had three words or four words for about 35 years and I just kept saying them over and over and over again. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily very complicated, but then I started to I think so much of this has got to do with education. You know, like a lot of times when I teach, people say, well, I didn't know that. I mean, the Lord says my people perish for lack of knowledge, so I guess that's what a lot of this radio show is about, to get the knowledge out there, Father?
That's right.
Do you find that?
Well, your gift of tongues will develop according to the social context, according to how many, I don't want to say how many prayer meetings you go to. That's not quite like that. But I'm saying if there's a faith context, well, you know, most of the saints seemingly prayed in tongues, but they didn't know what they were doing, because it wasn't identified for that. But all of them murmured praise. Mm-hmm. All of them seem to have murmured praise. So it's more deeply rooted than you think. It's not something that just popped up, you know, a few decades ago. Again, it's been there.
It's in the mystics. It's in the writing of the mystics. Yeah. And okay, so we've got like 3 minutes left. Cheryl, give me something to wrap this up. How would you want to?
Well, it's funny that you said perish for lack of knowledge, because I have that in my notes, because I felt like if I had the knowledge of Christ's words, and I knew the Holy Spirit much earlier in my life, it would have been so much easier. And so now I'm trying to teach my children so they know young, you know, how you can go through life and you're not going to have, it's not going to be all perfect, but you'll have the peace and the joy to get through the storm. And you'll have the wisdom if you ask for God's counsel and you're seeking to know him.
So it's like a way, Father, would you agree that to access the supernatural grace?
Well, there's the fruits, you see, like the fruits are going to what make you lovable. Like, for instance, once you get move from the gifts to the fruits, your husband's going to have a lot more to love. Because you're going to be a super spouse. I mean, that's why people loved St. Francis, even though they didn't necessarily want to imitate his lifestyle. They loved him because he was lovable. Mm-hmm. He was fabulous. He was great to be around. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to do something powerful to you. That's going to knock your marriage right over the out of the ballpark, you know.
And it has. And
you're going to be an exciting person to be married to. That's for sure, right? That's what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants that guy to be coming home to a jazzy wife. Yeah, to a jazzy wife. That's for sure.
I guess what we said in the beginning, it's an adventure, you
that's
know.
Right.
It launches us on an amazing adventure, and it's you know, in life we're either going into a trial or we're in a trial or we're all coming out of a trial. So okay. We're always in some kind of tribulation or some kind of dimension of tribulation.
Sure.
And that's just how life is, you know, because we are in a fallen world and we are all flawed. And that's why we needed Jesus Christ. So, like, this makes it so much easier,
that's
you know.
Right,
it,
right.
It's, you know.
Moving in the gifts and the fruits, yeah.
We find out it's not about happiness. Happiness is kind of based on happenstance. What's
right.
happening?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
you could be happy in the morning. Happy. You get a phone call, you're not happy.
Right.
You know, you open a piece of mail, you hear something. You look at Facebook, not happy. Right?
Right, right?
But on the other hand, you know, joy doesn't depend on that. And I think that's one of the amazing strengths of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, the Holy Spirit.
To give us the joy of living and the joy of living each moment and being able to commit ourselves to presence into each moment.
Okay.
I think that's so important.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So we have 1 minute. How can I wrap this up? Cheryl?
Okay. I hope.
What's changed now, lately? What's your most recent change that you've experienced?
The most recent change is that now the people that surround me are now becoming more passionate about the Lord. So I feel like the more I'm into it, the more influence mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. that the people around me are now trying to move mm-hmm, more into mm-hmm. the Lord.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's so exciting when that starts to happen.
Right. And it's an adventure. You'll never be bored.
Never bored. Oh, never bored.
I used to be bored.
Never bored. It keeps moving and moving and moving, and the Lord's never done. There's always more and more and more and more. Right, Father?
That's right.
Always more.
That's right. Boredom is out.
Boredom is out.
Boredom is out.
And it's about the more constantly. You know, it never gets to that point where. Yeah, so I think that this was great. I'm so excited, and I hope we have more discussions. Will you come back, Cheryl, too, and talk
sure,
more?
Sure, thank you. Yes.
Maybe we can get some other people. If anybody's out there who wants to share their experience of the Holy Spirit, let us know. You know, we just love to hear about this and spread the word. Like we said, knowledge is everything. So, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Father, break us, Father, mold us in your ways.